Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do. We read comics and we talk to you about them because we just love comics.
Yeah, we just want to put our thoughts in the air.
Yeah.
And then maybe someone will find it. I don't know.
We want an outlet to just put our thoughts on the internet like any normal, healthy individual would.
Like any narcissistic person, we want everything we say to be recorded for others to enjoy.
And we think our opinions matter.
Yeah. I don't think my opinions matter. I just want to say my opinions.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of them just like boiling in my head, just...
Yeah, you got
to not saying them to Sarah because she doesn't give a shit.
No,
you know, and so it's like I'm about to explode.
Yeah,
up until recording day, which is today.
You just bottle everything up.
Yeah,
and let it out here.
And push it down.
It's a weird kind of therapy. But how's it going, Daniel?
It's good. I had a great week today. I had a call in for jury duty.
And no way, did you?
Yeah, I got one of those.
Was it a murder case? Adult.
I don't know what it was. I had to call in to see if like they need my group or whatever, and they didn't need it. So I'm like, fuck you.
Oh, so you just chilled all day today, or did you have to go to work?
Yeah, I was off today because I was like, oh, I have like jury duty. Do I get that off? They're like, yeah. And so I and so that's what the date said. And I called last night. They're like, oh, call in the morning. It's like a pre-recorded thing.
Yeah.
Because like the other groups, they had to go in early. And then I had to call in like after they went in. So I guess they got enough jurors from those early groups.
Gotcha.
So I was off the hook. I was like, fuck yeah. I love it.
And you just tell your work. Yeah, I'm working on like a really crazy like murder case right now. They really need me there.
Be like, they're like not letting me see anybody because, you know, the mob.
Top secret murder stuff. You know.
The Magia.
You understand. The Magia. The comics Magia.
Yeah. The real kingpin's coming after me.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, this is the Trade Raiders Podcast. We are going to be talking about Shang-Chi this week. That's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, I looked it up multiple times. You just got to think like there's an H after the A, and that's how it helps me. Because it's like, I was trying to think of examples.
And it's just one of those things that I think that everybody universally read it a certain way, and that's just not how it was pronounced.
Yeah,
that's got to be tough. Which happens to me all the time.
Yeah, because it's like Shang, and that sounds still like Chinese, you know, but... the way they pronounce A's, I guess.
But we're talking about that. Obviously, an excitement for the Marvel movie. Did you know that was coming out?
What? A movie?
What are you talking about?
Dude, I texted my mom to ask if they wanted to go see Shang-Chi. She's like, what's that?
Yeah.
And this is like last week.
It seems like this is a character that doesn't sound like a traditional like Marvel hero. So I think that's pretty like across the board what people are...
They really just have to smack the Marvel logo anywhere they can so people know what this is.
I saw a hashtag for... like Shang-Chi, and it was like the full movie title, so it was like hashtag Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, and so it was like a really big hashtag.
It was like the whole tweet.
Yeah, but yeah, I figure a lot of people are kind of like Shang-Chi, so I wonder how it'll do commercially.
It might do great. It looks really cool. I'm excited to see like how fresh it is and how different it's gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like, oh, we gotta go to the temple and fight some shit.
Yeah,
there's like other real world things, I think.
And it looks pretty.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
We're obviously recording this before we see it. We're going to go see it
tomorrow
at the time of recording this.
But this episode will be released. We'll talk about it next week.
Yep.
So that you guys have a whole week to see it and not get spoiled from us, at least.
Exactly. Exactly. But before we talk about Shang-Chi, we're going to talk about the news. Or if you want to skip to the book, you can do that. There's some time codes for the news, for Shang-Chi, for the back matter of the trade, or for the pull list where we talk about what else we've been reading / watching. So let's start off with the news.
Nathan, do you know what Cowboy Bebop is?
It's like a manga. Anime.
Yeah, it's like an anime from like the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Space Cowboys. There's a show coming out and... we got some stills of it. Looks great.
Does it have Cowboy and Bebop in there?
Not how that works. But
I don't know anything about it.
But yeah, they're getting a live action series coming to Netflix. And the only reason I bring it up is because they're going to be getting a comic series for Netflix's Cowboy Bebop. So I don't know if it's going to be a manga or if it's going to be like a comic based off the show that is based off of anime.
That would be very strange if it was a comic based off of the manga, based off the anime or whatever. Like,
because like, so many, like, I don't know layers. If they're gonna draw it in like the manga art style, you know what I mean? Because there are Cowboy Bebop comics.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we'll see.
We were talking a little bit about some Marvel before, and Marvel's birthday was today or yesterday or something.
Really?
So they announced a bunch of things that are going to be coming to Marvel Comics up through February 2022. A couple events, couple singular series, some pretty exciting, some not so much to me. But the first one that they announced coming in December of 2021 is a Marvel event called Devil's Reign, which is going to be written by Chip Zdarsky and drawn by Marco Cicchetto, his counterpart on Daredevil, which makes sense because they stopped at Daredevil 36 in the solicitations, and Chip Zdarsky was like, it's not over, we're just taking a break, but turns out probably wasn't a break, is probably just to do
this event.
So that makes a lot more sense.
That probably has to do with Daredevil.
It does. So the
Mephisto?
It's not. No Mephisto in here, hopefully. But the idea is that Mayor Fisk is outlawing all superheroes in New York, and he's unleashing intel on all their dark secrets. So he's putting Daredevil, Elektra, Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, and many more against his Thunderbolt agents who are going to be hunting them down.
Dang. It's going to be so hard to be a writer. Just all this stuff just coming out. And
yeah.
You just got to shut up about it.
Yeah. So it seems pretty cool. Like an event
looks dope.
Against the Avengers that has Fisk, you know, behind it all. It seems pretty cool. And the Thunderbolts are also pretty cool as well. But there's also other series called Avengers Forever, which is some sort of multiversal one. There's one in January 2022, and I don't know if it's two series. I think it is, but it's called X Lives of Wolverine and X Deaths of Wolverine. So there's those two different things on this little timeline.
Okay.
And they're both going to be by Benjamin Percy and Joshua Cassara, who did X-Force recently. And that guy is a fucking killer artist.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sick. So I'm definitely going to pick that up just for that artist announcement alone.
Maybe it's just showing like different lives that he's lived, or maybe it's like a multiverse thing.
I think so. I just don't know why they have to like split it up into two series, but they're also connected because the logos are very similar. So
of course.
It's a little strange, but very cool either way. There is also a She-Hulk announcement, a Reckoning War announcement is what it's called. It's a Fantastic Four sort of thing with Dan Slott, and She-Hulk by Rainbow Rowell and Rogue Antonio.
Nice. So, she's good.
Yeah, Rainbow did what, Runaways?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And then there's a Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur with the creators behind it being top secret apparently. So
wow.
Who knows what that's gonna be.
That's always like a fun, like, you know, all ages comic.
Yeah, exactly. We should do that book. You know, the one.
Yeah, like
The one.
The one that, I think the one that we're thinking of was like the first time that came about.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's like, and it seems like that's like the definitive run.
Seems like it. So yeah, a bunch of things got announced.
Pretty exciting.
I'm pretty excited for a couple of them.
Nathan.
Yes.
Jason Momoa made a statement recently that he admits that he does not go to the gym.
So what does he do?
I don't know.
Like push-ups? Calisthenics?
I don't know. He says he doesn't go to the gym, and I'm very upset about it because he's giant.
Well, I mean, just because he still works out, obviously. He probably just throws heavy axes. You know, he does that. He throws an axe.
Maybe. He probably just picks up houses or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That just upset me, and I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, good. Well, thanks for putting me down as well.
Yeah.
With you.
We're both hurt.
Bringing me down to your level.
Yeah.
Daniel, have you heard of Jeff Lemire?
Oh, yes, I have, Nathan.
Have you heard of Substack?
I have, Nathan. We've talked about it here.
So Jeff Lemire is now on Substack. And he's going to be doing his next graphic novel, Fish Flies, on Substack.
And?
So he has a statement here, and he said, Fish Flies is a project I am both writing and illustrating, and I've been working on it since I finished May's book and Sweet Tooth, The Return at the End of 2020. So I'm like, May's book hasn't even come out, and he's finished it?
Yeah, no.
Not only has he been working on it, he has about 120 pages fully drawn. This man, like, does not sleep. It's literally unbelievable.
How do you even prioritize?
I don't know.
What you work on?
I don't know. Like, you would think after, like, May's book, he'd be like, all right, that's my book for the year. But no, he's already 100
pages?
That's a full trade pages? Already deep.
Yeah, into, I know. That's like a solid trade.
Yeah. And so he said the entire story is plotted out. It's going to be a big book, probably my longest book since I finished the original Sweet Tooth series. And I'm projecting it to be at least 500 plus pages long. And it will likely take me a couple more years to draw. I saw a really funny tweet after that was announced, and it said, whenever Jeff Lemire announces a new thing, it reminds me of Ozymandias saying that he unleashed the monster 33 minutes ago or whatever. Because he's just like got all this stuff going on. He's already done it at the time that he announces it. It's so crazy. So yeah, Fish Flies is going there. That's going to be really cool. Additionally, Lemire is going to be publishing new Black Hammer short stories through Substack, as well as a full-length Colonel Weird comic co-written by Tate Bromball, the guy that did the Barbalian one. And it's going to be fully painted by Ray Fox. This comes on the heels of the recently launched Black Hammer Reborn limited series. But yeah, there's a couple pages here of like legit like paint like on a canvas.
Oh, man. And
looks just phenomenal.
That's bonkers.
Just phenomenally just wacky and cosmic-y and amazing. So
if that was like in a museum, I like wouldn't even question it. I'd be like, yeah, that's art.
Yeah, right like there. Literally this is as art as you can get. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know like what
it's just,
that
it's just sentence. Paintings in a museum on pages with like captions around it.
Yeah. And I guess on top of that, he's going to be doing the normal Substack things where he's going to open up his vault and share his sketchbooks. So not only for Colonel Weird and stuff and all that, but like he's going to be sharing scripts, process material from his various collaborators, including Sorrentino, Dustin Nguyen, Dean Ormston, and Caitlin Yarsky.
To be telling us how much cocaine he does every single day.
Yeah, probably. Like, what coffee does he drink? Like, I need to know that. And so, yeah, that's pretty cool. The only thing I'm a little worried about is Black Hammer not coming to print. There wasn't, like, a definitive thing of, like, what's happening with future Dark or future Black Hammer things, because it's obviously his, like, biggest thing right now.
Maybe it's like the other things where like they'll eventually come to print kind of thing.
I assume that's what's going to happen and that's what I hope is going to happen.
Because when he does those library editions, like the second and third one are just like all the spinoffs in like one. So I think they'd probably come out like that or they have their own trade.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like these would just be like the only ones that are on Substack.
Yeah.
So.
But when this whole Substack thing first started, I was like probably the only person I'd pay for in addition to like Chip Zdarsky, I mean, it's been great so far.
Yeah,
is Jeff Lemire. So I'll probably look into how much that is and probably get it because Lemire's got a lot going on.
And yeah, dude.
And they're always.
And since he's pumping out books like so much, he'll be able to push them out like much faster.
Exactly. I can't even imagine Jeff Lemire, but faster.
I can't read his comics as fast as he's making them.
I know, dude.
How does he do it?
He's got so much. And he never misses either. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any books that I've been like, I didn't like that. You know,
I'm psyched for Primordial. I'm psyched for his Maze book. I'm psyched for anything he's got coming up.
Additional.
You've got the Batman and Robin series coming up with Dustin Nguyen. Oh, and man. Like, there's like six things coming up.
This man's trying to retire like next year.
He could probably if he wanted to. I mean, he sold Sweet Tooth and all that stuff. It's getting a season two.
That's true.
The man's crazy.
Nathan.
Yes.
Ed Asner died this week.
Uh-huh.
He was Carl in Up.
He was Carl.
He's also voice acted for a lot of nerdy things. He played Granny Goodness, I guess, in a Batman and Superman show. And
wow,
crazy. Then he's also J. Jonah Jameson in, I think, the Spider-Man show or something, or an animated movie. So it does relate to comics.
Bless his heart.
And he was also Santa from, like, Elf, if you don't remember that.
What?
The guy who voice acted for
Carl in Up.
Yeah,
the played old the man. Actual Santa?
Yeah.
Okay, in Elf. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I figured that out because I was like, I think I know that guy. That man's
been all around my life, and I had no idea.
Yeah, he's been in the game for quite a bit.
Speaking of voice actors, did you know that the guy that plays Mr. Krabs plays the Hellboy-esque character in Invincible?
Oh, Demon Man or Demon Boy?
Demon Detective Man?
Devil Demon?
Devil Detective. Detective Devil. Something like that. So yeah, Mr. Krabs plays that guy. And that guy, that same guy that plays both of those characters, also plays the big flamey devil guy in Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, Surtur?
Surtur, yeah.
That's so crazy.
Surtur is Mr. Krabs. I found that out this week. That's how I choose to look at it.
Hold on. I need to figure out what that demon detective. What is his name? Damien Darkblood.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay.
Man, that's such a sick name, dude.
Yeah, it's a dope name.
Kirkman comes up with the best names.
He's got to be one of the best at it.
Yeah.
But anyway, rest in peace to Ed Asner.
Yeah. What a legend. That's all the news I have, actually. It was a very slow week for me.
Got a few things.
Sure.
Apparently, Disney Plus is working on Return of the Rocketeer, which is a sequel movie for The Rocketeer, which is also some comics.
I am not at all a Rocketeer fan. I have no idea what it's about, and it doesn't look that interesting to me, but I like his design.
It looks old, and yeah. I think he looks cool. I think, what's his name?
Alex Ross.
Alex Ross did like some covers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we could maybe do a Rocketeer book coming up.
That'd be fun. Probably a good one.
Yeah, and we got another Doom Patrol trailer.
Oh, I did see that.
Very exciting. Did you watch it?
Uh-huh.
We get the Brotherhood of Evil as the villain. That's pretty sick.
Who does that entail?
You remember that brain thing that's in that little scooter thing that just rolls around? Mm-hmm. And then he's got that like French gorilla guy who just like does shit for him. It's like him and like some other people.
Okay. That sounds great.
Because I think they were in like Justice League, the animated series.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Evil. Yeah.
So that's why I know that.
It's not Gorilla Grodd, is it?
No, I looked it up just to be sure. Because I'm like, is that Gorilla Grodd? That's sick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks cool. I.
How come there's no good gorillas? I feel like every gorilla character in comics is bad.
Harambe.
He's a good gorilla. But he's a for real good gorilla.
Right. Are there good gorillas?
Actually, now that I say that, I can't think of any other gorillas other than Gorilla Grodd.
There's got to be a good gorilla somewhere. Like, King Kong's good sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. People see him as bad guy.
Yeah, he wants to, like, fuck the human chick.
Good gorillas. Let's just do that.
Just Harambe comes up.
Oh, the gorillas, the band. That's pretty good.
Oh, they're good gorillas.
I wonder if there's ever been a Gorilla Grodd series.
There's Ape X from Squadron Supreme.
Okay.
Monster Mala.
He seems pretty
Titano.
Good.
Titano. What is that? Fiction Comics? Oh, he's a foe. Never mind. Oh, dude. Fucking Rafiki from Lion King.
That's a different primate though. He's not a gorilla.
Oh, he's a mandrill. No, man. Who's King Gorilla from Venture Bros?
I found this list of fictional primates in comics, and it's very thorough. They have Ampersand from Why the Last Man.
Oh,
the monkey.
Yeah.
Gorilla Boss from Batman, but he's a mobster, so he's also a bad gorilla.
I don't know a lot of these.
Yeah,
I mean, there's Donkey Kong. He's a good one, right?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, there's Ultra Humanite, which is a gorilla from Action Comics, who's a mad scientist.
Yeah, he's mad. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Is there a gorilla in Overwatch called Winston?
Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's my dog's name.
It is. When you first
Oh, he looks got sick,
Winston,
dude.
Yeah, when you first got Winston, I thought of that Overwatch character and how annoying he is in the game.
Is he like annoying to
He's very to jumpy, fight against? And he's just, he involves no skill.
This is like...
But that was when Overwatch was a thing, and people, now it's not.
People played it, yeah.
Yeah, when it was good. Anyway. That's enough of that tangent. What other news?
And then we got a gameplay trailer for Midnight Suns.
Oh, I didn't look at it. How'd it look?
I didn't look at it.
Oh, shit.
I just saw it on YouTube, and I'm like, I should write that down.
Let's take a look at it real quick.
Okay.
I bet it's just a strategy game. Hold on. So you could sit on a couch with Doctor Strange? Okay, so it's like XCOM, which is just a turn-based strategy game. And all right, yeah. So they got the people that made XCOM to make this game, so it makes sense that it's a turn-based strategy game like that. But it looks like it's got some twists to it, and there's probably going to be some like combining of superhero powers to do a cool thing together. Like,
yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't think it's for me, but
yeah,
I don't think I've ever played a strategy game because it don't really look that fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, that good for whoever wants that.
Yeah, exactly. I like the theme of it in general, too. It's, like, more mystic.
Yeah, those villains are cool.
It's focusing on, like, a certain part of Marvel rather than it being, like, oh, look at all the fun characters you know and love. All of them, they're all here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, like, focused on a certain few, which I think is good.
Magic looks cool, too. Is that the one with the wings, or is that someone else?
The one with the wings?
Yeah, that we just saw on that.
Magic? Oh, no, that was somebody else.
Yeah, okay.
Magic is the one with the sword and the New Mutants.
Oh, you're right. And the dragon.
And the dragon, yeah.
Such a dumb name. Anyway, that's all the news I have.
That's all the news that I have.
Get into it?
Yeah, we'll get into the book. So we read the only Shang-Chi trade there is out there, basically.
There is some other things, but like there was like some really old things, and I'm like, I'm really not in the mood to go through that.
Yeah. So we read the new one that came out just this year, I believe, which is Shang-Chi Brothers and Sisters is the name of the trade.
Oh, I was like, did it come out this year? Oh, shit. I think I got the wrong one.
The series came out like this year, I'm pretty sure.
2020, but the trade came out like earlier this year, yeah.
Okay, yeah. The writer is Jean Luen Yang with artist Dyke Ruan. There's a separate flashback artist named Philip Tan and color artist Sebastian Chang and Travis Lanham as the letterer. It's I had no idea what to expect. I'd never read any Shang-Chi. He's always just kind of been like supporting sort of character.
Yeah, he's in a ton of like event books and like Avengers books. Mm-hmm. Like when I looked up like, oh, what you need to read before this movie comes out is all like Avengers things, and there's barely any individual ones.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how we do, Nathan.
No.
We got to find the one character, the one trade that he's got.
Exactly.
And then I feel like there's tons of room to be like a really cool book. Like I enjoy this. This seems very uniform.
Yeah.
For just like giving someone the solo book.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can have like a Matt Fraction, like on Hawkeye kind of flair to it, or just kind of just for it to be kind of more grounded, I guess. And still be like good, and just with the like an artist, I think one of those more cartoonist artists would like work really well with this.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what do you think?
It's very similar to what I like about the Immortal Iron Fist run,
mm-hmm.
which is the one by Matt Fraction and Ed Brubaker,
right?
And is Iron Fist, and he finds out that there's multiple like mystical cities other than Kunlun.
Oh yeah.
And each of those have their own, like, Iron Fist or, like, their own, like, warrior, basically. And then there's, like, a big battle between them. So those are aspects.
Do they have, like, an Iron Foot guy or something like that?
No, I think they're all Iron Fists. But I think there might be one Iron Foot guy. But there's one that's, like, really fat, and I like him a lot.
Is that the one with, like, the tattoos on his back?
Yes.
Of, like, all kanji, basically?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've seen him in something. And
he's showed up before. But, yeah, I really like that series, like, a lot. Like, it's perfect Iron Fist for me. And so to see some of those attributes in here, because they're very similar characters. They're, like, mystical, like, Kung Fu-esque characters. Just one's white, and that's why. No, I'm just kidding. No, I like the fact also
this one's
that
white and rich. I like them.
It's all the coolness of being white and rich, but also being a kung fu master.
And taking all the cool powers from the Asian people.
No, but I mean, I like that aspect of Iron Fist, that he's kind of running this corporation that is very shady, but he's not a shady person. So he's got to like figure out how to not have that be a part of a reflection of him and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this book, I think, does a really good job of like really honing in on the sort of culture, and like there being some crazy shit going on that like Shang-Chi is just like, I don't want to be part of any of this, like this is insane.
Yeah.
So I really like where like Shang-Chi's attitude about it like most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like some very familiar themes that I was kind of like expecting, but yeah, I liked it a lot.
Do you know what his powers are?
Not really. I mean,
I just thought he was really good at fighting.
He's the master of kung fu.
Okay, but it seems like he's got like a little bit more juice than everybody else.
Yeah, I think he's got some harder knuckles than the average person.
Sure.
But yeah, I think he does have some sort of like mystical like buffs essentially that are applying to him.
Right.
I just couldn't tell you specifically.
Okay.
But we'll just get right into the book. So there's like some establishing context here right at the beginning that they show you. It's in like the 1700s, and there was like this team of deadly warriors called the Five Weapon Society that would essentially protect China from incoming threats. Zhang Zhu was the leader of this group, along with his brother, Zhang Yi. And Zhang Zhu developed a longevity spell on himself so that he could continue as leader of the Five Weapons Society for like hundreds of years, until he had Shang-Chi, who would put a stop to his reign eventually. But the Five Weapons Society is still a thing that exists, and I guess Zhang Zhu's spirit chooses who the leader is amongst those five weapons.
Yeah.
And we basically enter the story when the spirit chooses the deadly hand. So each of the five weapons have their own like characteristic weapon. So there's the deadly staff, the deadly hammer, the deadly blade, daggers, and the deadly hand.
I think you said hand twice.
Staff, saber, daggers, hammer, hand.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You're good.
So each of those guys specialize in those things. The spirit chooses the deadly hand to be the leader, which is supposed to be Shang-Chi.
The commander, Nathan.
The commander, whatever. you, the leader of whatever thing this is. The deadly hand is supposed to be Shang-Chi, but he's not really like a part of this anymore. But basically we see Sister Hammer, who's the hammer one of the five weapons, kill Master Staff in an attempt to seize control of the Five Weapons Society, even though she wasn't necessarily chosen.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that's kind of like going on here right at the beginning. And I feel like one of the things I didn't like about the book is that they just don't give it all to us up front in like the beginning, like,
which kind of makes it hard.
It does kind of make it hard. Like,
I get the not like telling us but showing us kind of thing, but this is like pretty dense.
This was something I would prefer to just kind of have as like an info dump right at the beginning, because later we find out that each of the weapons have their own mansion or whatever across different parts of the world, and I'm yeah. like, did I miss that, or was I supposed to know that? And then later it's like, okay, each of those people are all related to each other because they have the same father and stuff like that. So there's like a lot that you find out throughout the book that I think might have been a little bit easier for me.
Yeah.
And I read this all at like once. I can't imagine like reading this month to month.
Yeah, you know, that'd be and hard. Being
like, what's supposed to be happening again?
I think I grasp that okay. Like, they're just like, oh, but I gotta go to Maya Temple that's in like London for some reason.
Yeah. To be fair, I did understand it in the end, yeah. which I guess is the goal. But sure. like, there was a little bit of me like having to go back a little bit and making sure I understood everything.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to like these first pages, I'm like, what is this? Because I just was confused until like the rest of the book goes on.
Yeah.
But like the prologue is like these five dudes are about to be like assassinated, but mm-hmm. then like the Sorcery Brothers come, which is like Zhang Zhu and Zhang Yi.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all like blue and glowy and stuff and like start fighting everybody. And then Fing Fang Foom shows yeah, up.
Fing Fang Foom comes up and I'm like, okay.
And it's like the most badass Fing Fang Foom I've ever
Dude,
seen.
Dude, I know.
He's fucking scary.
I wrote down like Fing Fang Foom right off the back is such a good move because like I'm interested. This is the only time you ever see him.
It's got me hooked. Yeah, it kind of was misleading because I'm like, whoa. And then he's just nothing.
If Fing Fang Foom was in here more consistently, this would be the greatest book of all time.
Is that, there just needs to be a Fing Fang Foom solo series, and it'd be like awesome.
We should absolutely read it if they ever do. Is there one that exists? I don't even know.
Like,
probably not.
Chip Zdarsky would do a great one. Danny Warren Johnson would do a great one.
Like, Scotty Young would do a great one.
Scotty Young would be great.
Yeah.
Because it'd be like simple, and they'd be like, here's five issues. Have fun.
Yeah, you exactly. Know? Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I was excited to see Fing Fang Foom in there. And I really like, so the flashback artist, Philip Tan, is like insane at what he does. Like this first sort of panel that shows Shang-Chi in it is like some of the coolest rendering of like anatomy and like musculature that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it looks great. It looks like a video game.
Ripped. Yeah, he does. He looks like he's like the Street Fighter guy.
It do looks exactly like some Street Fighter.
His like shoulders are huge and like his arm, like I think Philip Tan draws really muscular arms, like some of the best.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like the coloring too, like the coloring renders his muscles super well. You see like the different threads of like his muscles or whatever.
He's got gigantic forearms.
Yeah, he does.
Can you imagine having those thighs
fucking
on your
tree
arms?
Trunks, dude.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So really, really great art. Like you could tell they went in like full force with this, and they're all, I think, Asian creators as well, which is cool.
Yeah. I like that.
So yeah, all this is happening with like the Five Weapons Society. Shang-Chi doesn't really want any part of this like cult thing. He's been trying to get away, and right now he's working at a bakery with a person named Grandma Wang, who I like a lot in this book. He gets the number of like a girl while he's working, but doesn't know if he can really date because his life is a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
Shang-Chi also has a friend named Liko that's part of MI6, which I didn't know was a thing in the Marvel Universe.
I guess so, yeah.
Tom Cruise confirmed in the Marvel Universe.
Have you ever had like, I think it's some sort of like Asian pastries. I can't remember what like nation it's actually from, but there's like this place in like LA, but like I don't know if you've ever had any kind of like Asian pastries or anything like that. They're fucking gnarly.
Yeah,
they're so good.
Yeah, Sophia goes to a lot of like Asian markets and we get dim sum and stuff like that together.
Yeah, so. That's great.
Yeah,
this made me like hungry for that.
What were they called here that they were making?
Some sort of like
sesame balls or no,
pineapple buns.
Yeah, those look good.
Yeah, I fuck those up.
Yeah, so
you can put pineapples in bread.
I know.
Fantastic idea.
Those are two really great things. So yeah, Shang-Chi has a friend named Liko that's part of MI6, and she warned Shang-Chi that his father's cult is coming to America to like track him down. But as she's explaining that, they are attacked by some of those people, and it ends up being Brother Saber and Sister Dagger. So two of the five weapons of society, and they're telling Shang-Chi, but they know him as Brother Hand, that he's been selected to rule the Five Weapons Society because that spirit lit the particular flame or whatever.
Yeah.
So I really like the sassy grandma Yang.
Yeah, Wang. She's great. She's not in this enough.
She's like the kind of grandma that's like brutally honest and saying like, oh, your skin looks bad or whatever. Or like, this guy's crazy. You don't want to date him kind of deal. So I like her character. I wish she was in this more.
Yeah.
Also, when he gets the number from that girl, he says, her sheer normalness makes my heart skip a beat. And I'm like, that's not a very romanticized thing.
like, oh, wow.
She is so normal.
What a catch.
Yeah. He's just like, he immediately simps over like the most normal person. And yeah. I'm like, come on, Shang-Chi, like, get your standards up there a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, after Shang-Chi denies brother Saber and sister Dagger.
Shang-Chi.
Liko tries
to... I'm going
to
count how many times you fuck up his name.
Dude, because I'm reading it and I like automatically think Shang.
You should just type it like with an O.
Yeah, Shang. After he denies them, Liko tries to arrest brother Saber and sister Dagger, but they leave. But as they leave, they mention taking out sister Hammer themselves. And that's when Shang-Chi realizes that they were talking about Shang-Chi's sister, who he thought to be dead. So that's kind of like a twist at the end. But what I don't understand is these two people are also his siblings at the same time that he didn't like know about at all.
Yeah, they're like half siblings from like those other houses or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is like they grow up to be the like
weapons or whatever.
The weapon people, right?
Yeah.
So like when they say Sister Hammer, in the, she ends up being like a long lost sister or whatever. But like how does he know that she was going to be like the Hammer lady?
Sister Dagger mentions a tattoo on her head.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And Shang-Chi knows that his sister, thought to be dead, had a tattoo on her like forehead. So there's like the reveal there that he's got like a sister that he knows about, which is interesting. I think that's a good little cliffhanger there.
And he's like, I have to save my sister. And then she wants to be like the commander or whatever. She's like, I have to kill my brother.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, does Shang-Chi's dad just get around? Like, are they actually like blood related or are they just like...
I think he got around, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And then they all just like happen to become champions of their particular like weapon house or whatever.
So he was like the, you know, the super master or whatever of like this whole organization, like the cult that he follows. Yeah. And so he made those different houses in order to, or the temples or whatever, to
keep the five separate from each other so that they don't all die at once.
Yeah, because there was like trouble like during one of the wars where most of them died or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so he visited them. Like all of them while they were training and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And while they became like the masters. So yeah, I think he just got around.
He also lived for like hundreds of years. So I assume he's got game.
After that long. He's got like experience.
Yeah. There's probably like 100 more siblings that Shang-Chi doesn't know about.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you think that they ever think that like one weapon is like cooler than the other?
Like, I think the hammer is definitely cooler than like the hand.
Yeah. Hammer. I think Shang-Chi has it worse because all he has is like his hands.
Yeah, I mean the daggers are cool, like the dagger girl, she's really badass.
Like throws shit. Yeah, you know? But
I don't think I ever see the saber.
Yeah, brother Saber.
Yeah, I know him, but I don't think I ever notice his sword.
I
or
feel
anything.
Like if I was the staff dude, and he dies right off the bat, so there's really only like four weapons in this whole story,
right?
But if I was a staff dude, I'd be like, fuck man, I really want to be the blade guy.
Yeah, like it's hard to kill people with the staff, you know, without like giving them just a concussion.
Easily the lamest Ninja Turtle is the one with the staff. So
yeah, fuck Donatello.
Yeah. He's lame. So anyway, issue two.
We get some variants right before. We got a Jen Bartel one.
Dude, she's awesome.
She's so good. This one's badass. The colors are bonkers.
She collaborates with like Adidas.
That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, like there was like a Thanos
thing that
she did with Adidas and it was like really cool. So yeah, she's a great artist. So issue two, there's a flashback that explains like Shang-Chi and his sister, whose name is Shihua. So it kind of explains their whole backstory. And basically as kids, they were snooping around where they weren't supposed to be. And they found their dad's secret room of dead bodies. You know, as you do. Very relatable.
Right, right.
And Zhang Zhu begins to punish and hurt Shang-Chi, but his sister tries to defend him with a hammer. And then the dad turns around and brands a symbol on Shihua's head. And that's the last time Shang-Chi ever sees his sister and vice versa.
So that's why he thought she was dead.
Yeah. And Zhang Zhu says that he basically killed his own daughter because she betrayed him or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zhang Zhu is a very strict guy and also very abusive, clearly. Like he kind of runs this whole organization off of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in just those couple of pages, like we get a good representation of who their father was and like how he rules and things like that. And just all of them probably grew up really shitty, very similarly. But also Shang-Chi back in the day had an awful hairline. Did you see that?
Yeah, dude. I thought that was like Shihua for a bit because like it's like He's got like a seven head, and yeah. then it's like a braid with what is left of it.
It's like he, like, it's like half hair. Like, I don't know. Like,
it looks like he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, it
does. Because, like, his hairline starts, like, at the top of his head.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm like, dude, that guy's got a dome. It's crazy.
I know, man.
Actually, this shot right here, like, his hair stops at his ears.
Yeah, that's not a good look. maybe it was at the time, but...
Yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, I could see how you would think that that would be Shi Hua because of the forehead thing. But, no, she had bangs and stuff at the time. So, anyway, that's the flashback. Shang-Chi's friend Liko helps him fly to the House of the Deadly Staff, where he thinks his sister is going to be. So he parachutes down and is met by Sister Hammer's, or his sister. I'm just going to refer to her as Sister Hammer. He's met by Sister Hammer's soldiers until he's like actually reunited with her. So they like hug it out and stuff.
Yeah, I guess they just chill.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is she sees Shang-Chi come down in his parachute and she throws the hammer at his parachute.
Yeah.
And then he has to fight off her soldiers. And then when they come face to face, they just hug it out. So they're just like, cool.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Hey, like, I know everything I just did to you, but now that I see you, I'm like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. Dap me up real quick. Like I would be a little pissed if you did that to me. I'm going to not going to lie.
Yeah, dude.
If you attempted to kill me multiple times in not to mention a couple minutes,
you almost died. But yeah. Thankfully, you're a master of Kung Fu and you can just like step down some trees
on the trunks on the way down. Yeah.
Yeah. And just be fine.
She's basically like, oh, you didn't die just then? Well, come here, brother. Like, yeah, give me a hug. So anyway, so they hug it out and then they start to talk to each other over dinner and they find out that night when they were kids, she was sent to Russia to become a champion of the House of the Deadly Hammer. Again, each of the weapons have their own house
and weapon.
And Shi Hua, in that conversation, poisoned Shang-Chi in an attempt to get their father's spirit to claim the hammer as the ruler of the Five Weapons Society. So again, that's like the third attempt to kill Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Because she just wants to be the ruler. But apparently that's all dictated by the spirit of Zhang Zhu.
I like how she's like bigger than him. Like, dude, she's like jacked.
Huge. Yeah.
And very scary.
She could deadlift twice what Shang-Chi can probably.
Oh, definitely.
So
superpowers are not. She can deadlift more.
Yeah, exactly. So Shang-Chi is like knocked out for a little bit and he sees like a spirit body as he's knocked out. There's not much context on what that is, but it comes into play later. And when he wakes up, he's being examined in a lab and then he's immediately attacked by Zhang-Chi, which is just zombies. I'm just going to refer to them as zombies.
Yeah, because that sounds like really close to
Shang-Chi or Shi Hua or like
Zhang-Yi.
Like, I got confused a little bit on who the Zhang-Chi was.
So. If you don't.
They're just zombies.
Yeah, I think if you just kind of roll with the punches, you like pick it up and you know who's who.
They definitely mentioned it enough for you to figure out who's who and what's what.
Yeah, the only thing is like,
which I appreciate.
Sometimes when I'm looking at the drawings, I'm not sure who the uncle is and who the dad is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but anyway, I just kind of kept reading because it's not that important, I guess.
Just push through it and like, I think they do a solid job of explaining everything.
Yeah, and
so there's these like zombies and they start attacking Shang-Chi and he gets saved by Brother Saber and Sister Dagger, but Shang-Chi is like bleeding, but he's bleeding like a strange like dark gray like galaxy-esque, like there's stars and stuff in the blood, so it's like a very strange color. Mm-hmm. And he keeps seeing hallucinations of what he thinks is his dead father as a skeleton. So that basically ends off issue 2, but I think the book takes just like a huge left turn going into like deadly zombie men like fighting Shang-Chi and stuff, because like I wasn't expecting that.
I was like, oh, here's some like Marvel shit. Like,
yeah, here's some zombies real quick. But I do like when he's fighting the zombies and one of the zombies takes his severed hand and just darts it at Shang-Chi.
Yeah, and it like stabs him with like his fingernails.
Yeah, he's got some sharp ass fingernails.
That's a cool attack though.
That's the coolest move I've ever seen a zombie do. Takes his own hand and dart it at somebody.
Yeah, but then
Then
the brother and sister come and like save the day.
Yeah. So basically what we know at this point is that his sister is trying to overthrow the Five Weapons Society as a testament to get approval from their dead dad. And Shang-Chi doesn't want anything to do with this anyway. Like,
he just doesn't want to be the commander.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to find a way to get out of it.
And then Sister Hammer is trying to find a way to become the leader of it.
And so, her only lead is to kill him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's her goal, is to like try and prove herself to their dead dad,
right?
Who apparently still has a pull on her life. But anyway, issue 3, we find out more about the origins of the Five Weapons Society. So after the original five died, Zhang Zhu created 5 different houses across the world to house the next generation of weapons. We also find out that Zheng Zhu murdered his brother, Zheng Yi, or at least that's what we think. That ends up not being true. But he says that he murdered Zheng Yi because he was weak.
Yeah, in order to get like his spirit energy or something.
Yeah, and make himself live longer. So he kills his own brother to make him live longer, which I understand. I would do that to you.
Yeah, I get it. Go ahead.
And then in the present, Shang-Chi is working with Brother Saber and Sister Dagger to find a way to stop the zombies. And they do. It's in the form of these like pieces of paper. They're called amulets that are marked with chicken blood. And they got to stick it to their forehead.
Yeah, they just like kill them with sticky notes. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Sticky notes that have some chicken blood on them, basically. And they just got to make it touch their forehead.
I probably made that on accident while making food.
Yeah.
And then that just kills zombies, apparently.
Yeah, I guess
I kind of like that because then they have a way against it rather than just like killing them.
And it's not something like simple, like splashing water on them or something, you know?
So yeah, it's like there's
a very limited supply of things that'll help.
They do like some sort of, they write some sort of spell on it or something. And yeah. That's how it works.
It's like some mystic stuff that is done to them, but they explain it as pieces of paper with chicken blood on them. So it's
mystic sticky notes. And they're yellow, so they look like sticky notes.
They do. And like when they're practicing, they're just putting sticky notes on these dudes' heads. And I'm like, that's it. That's all you need.
And they have to like stick it on their forehead. So it's like one of those like games where you have to like guess what is on your forehead.
You're like, am I an animal?
Am I
a condiment?
Right. My woman.
Yeah, so we see some interesting backstory here. It's funny that the Zhangxi zombies are just stopped by pieces of paper. But there's also some mystery there because Shang-Chi feels pain coming from his like zombie wound, which is now just like a big gray scab. But like he's feeling like the effects of it as well. So there's a little bit of a mystery there of whether he's going to turn into a zombie kind of himself.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be awful in, like, The Walking Dead.
Oh, no, they'd shoot him in the head right away.
He doesn't tell anybody about it. He's just like, oh, let me...
Classic zombie trope.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I gotta go to the bathroom real quick and check out my ginormous wound. It's like half of his oblique.
I know.
So, after looking at his wound, he sees a hallucination of Zheng Yi, who leads him to a secret map in, like, a shrine room. So, Shang-Chi leaves to figure out what it means. So he gets help from his MI6 friend, Liko, and Liko gives him intel that Sister Hammer is planning to raid a museum in France to get, like, some special urn.
Hold on one sec. I just noticed this. When he took a picture of, like, that map or whatever, I didn't realize he took it on his phone.
Yeah, he just takes a picture
on his smartphone. I didn't know what I was looking at, but he just has a smartphone and he takes a picture of it.
Yeah, it's the modern day, Daniel. He's going to have a smartphone.
Yeah, I'm like, that's so smart.
Yeah.
And then he just takes it and flees or whatever.
Yeah.
That explains like why he was looking at it later and was able to text it to Liko later.
Yeah, so Liko gives him the intel that Sister Hammer's going to raid this museum. So Shang-Chi intercepts and finds out that Sister Hammer can control the zombie men. And because she can control the zombie man, she can kind of control Shang-Chi too. At least he can feel it. And then Brother Saber and Sister Dagger also come in to help. So, but what's funny to me is that Sister Hammer's at this museum or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Shang-Chi breaks through a window and is like, Sister Hammer, stop what you're doing or whatever. And then later when Brother Saber and Sister Dagger come in, they also smash through a window.
That's the only entrance, Nathan.
Yeah, I know. Like, every entrance of
there's
every
no character, doors in the Marvel Universe.
It's just through windows. Like, could they have used the same window that Shang-Chi smashed through?
Yeah, less property damage.
It's probably, like, right next to the window, too. Like,
honestly, it's probably better for the museum, because then all the damage will go over the deductible when they file a claim.
Oh.
So.
Do you think superheroes have to think about that? When they're like, we gotta break into this place.
So it's either them pay for it, or just get more money from insurance companies.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I never thought of it that way.
Backtracking to when like he saw that spirit talking to him.
Yeah.
He tells Shang-Chi to bring food.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm like, that's me if I was a spirit, man.
I mean,
I'm
he's
like,
hungry. He's a skeleton.
I'm like, dude, bring food.
Yeah.
Hey, here's this map. Come visit.
Hey, bring pull food. Pull up, bring some food. That's basically what he's saying. So anyway, they fight. And eventually Sister Hammer finds what she's looking for and tells the zombie to trigger an explosive that he's strapped to.
It's like an urn for some reason.
It's an urn. I don't really
know.
Does
that come into play later?
It does, but I don't know how. But
okay.
She gets a thing and she doesn't need to be there anymore. So she tells the zombie to blow himself up. Shang-Chi could sense that that's what the order was. And so he gets the other two out in time before the explosion.
Because he's also part zombie. So he gets some of these signals. So
he knows what the signal was, which was to blow himself up. So he's like, oh, we got to get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that it seems like the coloring strategy like frequently changes, because like anytime they're outside or there's like smoke or explosion, it seems like it's more painty or like brushy.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. But while they're inside, like during like the fight scene, it seems to be more traditional, like digital comics color.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really cool part of the book, is that there's like different textures based off like the setting.
Yeah. I think, see that.
And I think it's kind of cool. And it's not, you know, so noticeable that it's jarring. I think it's a little bit more jarring when we switch artists, like from the flashback to the present.
But, yeah. I think you also kind of have to like look for that. But I think maybe it's just a little bit easier to draw landscapes with like paint.
Yeah.
Because you know how like Bob Ross just like makes a tree and then like a mountain, and then he just like kind of scrapes and it's like, oh, shadow of the mountain.
Yeah.
And it took like a second.
Yeah, true.
So maybe that's what they were thinking.
Probably. So, but then the colorist would have to do all that, right?
Presumably. Yeah, definitely. So once his name could probably just do a layout, and they're like, all right, I'm going to paint this though.
Yeah, Dyke probably just like drew the characters and was like, do whatever in the backgrounds. I don't know.
Right.
Do whatever makes sense. So anyway, issue 4. So now the three of them, Shang-Chi, Brother Saber, Sister Dagger, they follow that map that Shang-Chi found, and they're led to China to find out whatever is at the end of the map. And Brother Saber and Sister Dagger fight like a strange monster that's in this tomb.
It's like a dragon that has like a lion's mane, and it has like 6 human arms coming out of its neck.
But it's also got antlers.
It's got these huge horns. Like antlers.
And it's got green eyes. So like, what the fuck is, like, it's...
This is like biblical shit.
This is like too much.
I think it looks cool.
Like, it's cool that it's like a dragon, lion, person, antler monster. But it's like, to me, it's like, what's going on here? Like, pick one. Like, if you're going to mix things together, don't mix 6 things together.
I think it's like they're creating like their own thing, you know?
They can.
What would you want? Just a dragon? That's boring.
A dragon lion. That's cool.
That's fair.
Or,
but that, yeah, or I guess
a dragon with big antlers. That's also cool.
Uh-huh.
Or,
but then that's just like Dragon Ball Z, you know?
The 6 arms are kind of crazy, too.
Yeah, that makes it like creepy. You know what I mean? I'm like, why does it have human arms?
Yeah.
Does it have human whose arms hair?
Are those?
Yeah.
Are those anybody's arms?
Before they get in this cave where this monster is, Shang-Chi like has like cliff bars.
Yeah.
And they just like gives them to everybody.
There's like a random cliff bar.
He's like, spot. Oh, I saw it on an ad on a YouTube video. I'm like, he watches YouTube. That's awesome.
Yeah, of course he does.
So relatable.
Yeah. I like cliff bars.
People
have differing opinions on them, but I tend to think that there's 2 good flavors and that's it.
Is it like the white chocolate one?
No, I like the peanut butter banana one and just the peanut butter one.
Any of the chocolate ones are like too much for me.
Yeah, they're kind of ass.
They're kind of ass. None of them are like delicious, but I really like that white chocolate one.
Dude, the peanut butter banana one bangs.
I didn't even know that was a flavor.
I go for that every time. And like, I think everybody else knows that that's the best one because a lot of the times they're like sold out at like gas stations and stuff.
Yeah.
So
it's great for extra energy, you know?
Yeah.
If you go to the gym.
Yeah. Sometimes if I haven't eaten before going to the gym, I'll pick up a cliff.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Get some energy for sure.
I want to be like those people on the packaging that are climbing mountains or whatever, or biking.
That's what that's for when you're climbing mountains for like hours and you're like fatigued. You have a cliff bar. You can climb the cliff a little bit longer.
But they're so dry. I wouldn't eat that if I was on a cliff.
It's because they're like so fatty that they give you that energy like almost immediately, I guess.
Yeah. True. True.
But anyway.
So Brother Saber and Sister Dagger fight this weird dragon lion antler arm monster.
Yeah.
While Shang-Chi just goes and finds whatever he's there to find. He finds Zhang Yi, basically. So Zhang Yi tells Shang-Chi the actual story in the 1800s when basically the origin that we knew before. But this is in the 1800s and China was attacked by Dormammu and his mindless ones. So we've seen the mindless ones before, right?
But where? Is it in a movie?
They haven't been in movies. Maybe in like MODOK. There were like mindless ones in MODOK.
You're right.
There's big brute guys with like laser faces.
Dormammu
is the one that controls the mindless ones most of the time.
But he was like summoned by Baron Harkness?
Yeah, just a evil magic guy.
Is that the same as
Baron Mordo?
Agatha Harkness?
There's Baron Mordo. So it's like a Doctor Strange villain. It doesn't really matter that much here. You just need to know that's in the past. So basically, Dormammu and the Mindless Ones kill the original 5 weapons and Zhang Yi. But Zhang Zu, his brother, tries to sacrifice himself to put the longevity spell on Zhang Yi. But Zhang Yi immediately sacrificed himself instead to apply it to Zhang Zhu. So he pulls like an Uno reversal on him. And he's like, no, you live forever. He just
pulled up that fucking card. He's yeah, like, he's like, ha, you live forever.
He just said, no, you. And then like, and then all of a sudden, Zhang Zhu lives forever. But essentially, their dynamic was they balance each other out. So I think Zhang Zhu is more like the black end of like the yin and yang.
Yeah.
So like he chooses to rule going forward through like fear and lies. Mm-hmm. So he says that he killed Zhang Yi, but in reality, he tried to save Zhang Yi. But when Zhang Zhu ends up being the one that lives for forever, he just kind of like falls off the deep end and rules in like a really bad way.
Right.
So there's some of that. And then Zhang Yi, his spirit also kind of tells Shang-Chi that you can't escape family, you know? This is like a thing that's like a part of you, and you got to just kind of like find a way to deal with it in a way.
So he like made himself immortal with just like some stones that he had.
Some stones, and you have to sacrifice.
It was quite the MacGuffin, Nathan.
It really is.
It's like, oh, don't worry, I'll save the day with some stones.
Yeah.
And they say stones, so I'm like,
Infinity Stone?
Infinity? It's no. Another stone, yeah.
Well, like, they're Infinity Gems in the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
Like, they're never... I think gems are cooler than stones. That's my one thing with, like, the Marvel Universe, is, like, why aren't they gems? Gems seem more mystical, you know?
Gems are, like, jewelry, and stones are, like, rocks.
Yeah. Stones are, like, you can find those anywhere. Why, yeah. Why is that the cool thing that, like, is the linchpin of the MCU, you know?
Right.
I don't know. But anyway, this is, like, the kind of shit that I wanted from, like, a Shang-Chi book, is, like, some mystical family destiny type story.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's pretty cool. And Zhang Yi is telling him, like, you got some weird shit going on with your zombie scab, but, like, you gotta make amends with your sister to make it go away, basically, is what he tells him.
Yeah, he's like, so I don't know, like, how to do it, but I guess you just gotta keep going.
He's like, just keep pushing forward, and destiny will find a way, or whatever. So, like,
yeah.
there's some cool destiny-based stuff in here. So, basically, after that, Shang-Chi returns to Brother Saber and Sister Dagger. They're still fighting that monster, but they kill it together with, like, one big fight. And then,
like a family.
Yeah, like a family. They're working together. And then Brother Saber sees a vision of Shang-Chi being an evil ruler. So he's kind of sus of him. But they all just basically go off to find Sister Hammer. Then last issue 5, Sister Hammer is in London. And she's using her zombies to take over the people there. Is it raining?
Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds really weird house because it's like a flat roof.
Oh, okay.
And so it's just like right there.
That's crazy. It's been like raining very sporadically lately.
Yeah.
Ooh, wow, there's some lightning going on.
Ooh.
Ooh, spooky. All right, so Sister Hammer, she's in London. She's using her zombies and to like take over people. Liko is also there, the MI6 friend. But Shang-Chi and the two others, they jump in to help. And they bring those paper sticky note things to stop the zombies. But Shang-Chi himself turns into full zombie mode, basically. And he's being controlled by Sister Hammer.
Did you see this, like, temple helicarrier that they had?
Yeah, they do have... There's just, like, one random guy who, I guess, is making those sticky notes, those magic sticky notes.
He's from the Saber house, I guess?
Yeah.
And then, I guess, the house can just float and fly away.
Yep.
Pretty cool.
Which is pretty convenient. Makes it easy to move.
Just maybe that's why... Maybe that's how they were spread out. They just weren't built. They just put on helicarriers.
Yeah. He builds them all together, so he doesn't have to go to each country, and then he just, like, makes them fly over.
Yeah, just remote controls them.
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
Easy.
So, yeah, Shang-Chi turns into full zombie and is controlled by Sister Hammer, but then he focuses real hard, and then he brings Sister Hammer into, like, her own memories, basically.
Yeah.
Also, did you see, like, in the first beginning pages, Sister Hammer can just spin her hammer really fast and block bullets like a lightsaber?
No, what?
Yeah, there's like...
Oh, shit. Yeah, she can. That's dope.
She's just like spinning it like a lightsaber. Like she's a fucking Jedi and like blocking bullets. But it doesn't look like it's a hammer that would be able to do
that kind of thing. It looks like the thing that Thor kind of does. But she's got like a really long like handle. So it's like a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
So maybe
yeah.
I think she's like grabbing it like in the middle for it to spin like that.
Yeah.
But still, that'd be hard to do.
It would be super hard.
And it's like a AR-15 that she's shooting with.
Yeah.
So... That's a lot of bullets. She's swinging it real fast.
Yeah, in a big circle.
Yep.
So they're in their memories now, and we kind of see what happened to Sister Hammer after her and Shang-Chi last saw each other as kids. She was basically thrown into the house of the Deadly Hammer in Russia, where she rose to become a champion. But after she became a champion, Zhang Zhu still only saw her as like adequate. and was like, oh, Shang-Chi became the master of his house a couple years earlier, so you suck at what you do.
Yeah.
So
hardly a champion.
Shang-Chi tries to talk her out of like the overthrowing nonsense, and then there's like a Zhang Zhu that appears in her memories and fights the both of them together, but Sister Hammer learns to like let go of Zhang Zhu's approval, which defeats him, and then they both get thrown back in London.
So all the zombies are, they said that they're they have unavenged grievances, and that's why they're zombies.
Yeah.
And so when they go into her mind and they like, and she like kind of defeats like this personification of, in her memories, of Zhang Zhu,
she that avenges her grievance.
She avenges her own grievance, and that's why she's controlling them. So once
when she overcomes that,
she overcomes the control that her father had over her, like all the zombies like drop. And yeah,
well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's
very symbolic.
It's about growing and avenging things.
It's about just getting over your daddy issues.
Yeah.
Basically,
it's called growing.
Yeah. So they break that, they come back to London together, but now Sister Hammer is like still angry because she feels unfulfilled and empty without this mission that she has. So she starts attacking Shang-Chi some more. So I'm like, bitch, you guys just had a moment together. You're like, you just accomplished something together.
Yeah.
And now you're still fighting. And Liko tries to shoot at her, but Shang-Chi stops the bullet like right in front of her forehead, which is pretty cold.
With like two fingers.
Yeah, two fingers.
It was badass.
Yeah, it was awesome. But when that happens, it gives Sister Hammer the chance to escape.
She just runs away.
She runs away and jumps into the water, and they can't end up finding her, I guess. Mm-hmm. So later on at the House of the Deadly Staff is where it kind of all ends, and also where it kind of all started in this book as well. But
he also quit the bakery.
He does quit the bakery, which is a little sad.
Yeah.
And then that girl that gave him his number, I guess, is a lawyer for superheroes.
Yep.
Which I thought was a Daredevil thing, but I guess there could be two of them.
Yeah, and then also, like, isn't that a Hulk thing, too?
She-Hulk, yeah.
She-Hulk, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's three of them now. But anyway, Shang-Chi, Sister Dagger, and Brother Saber all announced that they will create a new era of the five weapons together under the rule of Shang-Chi.
So this entire time, he wanted to get out of this, but now he's like, okay, I'll be the commander or whatever.
I think after talking with Zhang Yi, his uncle, he was like trying to get away from it. But after talking with him, he was like, maybe I've been wanting to get away from it because I didn't like how Zhang Zhu was running it. So maybe if I'm running it, I can run it the way that I think it should be run.
Sure.
And now he has the opportunity to do so.
Okay.
So they got to find, I guess, two new like weapons, like weapon
the
warriors.
And the staff.
They
got to
find a weapon, a hammer guy and a staff guy.
They got to have more at the house. Whoever's the champion at the time, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoever's runner up.
So that's the end of that.
There's like a one-page epilogue that
there is. Zhang Zhu comes back in like spirit form, and he's like, "You're just like me," and that's it.
Yeah, I'm glad it was just a page.
Yeah, me too.
But
yeah, I mean, overall, I would say I would rate it a like it.
Yeah, I would rate it on like a coffee scale as like a home brewed coffee.
Okay, sure.
Or like a cheese pizza. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
just
like I love pizza, but that wasn't. It's not all the add-ons and stuff and things that I like.
There's nothing like that changes comics as like a medium, you know? It's just like, it's a Shang-Chi story. It is done really well. Great
art's insane.
But it's like, kind of just like, you get what you pay for kind of deal.
Yeah. I don't know how much, I can't remember how much you pay for this. No, this is free, huh?
This is free, I think, for us, so.
Yeah, it's on Unlimited.
And it's pretty brief. I mean, it's like 110 pages in total, and then we got some back matter, but... Yeah, I mean, if you want to know more about Shang-Chi going into the movie, I think this does a pretty good job.
Yeah, as far as, like, background and stuff like that, the movie has, like, the 10 rings or whatever that have, like, superpowers, so I don't know. I was kind of hoping for some of that, but maybe that's a different arc or something.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, so pretty solid.
Yeah, solid.
So we'll go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And we got some character guides, which is basically like the concept sketches and basic info about each of the five weapons in like their houses. What I did like about this is that the house names were easy to remember because it was just House of the Deadly Staff, House of the Deadly Saber, House of the Deadly Hands or whatever. So,
yeah.
But you get like their concept sketches and then a couple of sentences about what they're about, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I think the design for the deadly staff guy looks pretty cool, but he just dies immediately, so we don't ever really see it in action.
He looks like relatively, I guess, just normal.
I guess generic.
He's got a beard, so
he's got a cool beard
that would set him apart from everybody else.
Yeah,
but
we see some Brother Saber stuff, and he's got a cool man bun.
Yeah, now I see his sword. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Sister Dagger is there. I think hers is like the most versatile because she could throw them, and she's got multiple, so she doesn't have to worry about like.
Then once she's got like maybe six in total.
Yeah, true.
Then you have to go get them,
and I guess that would be more close quarters. She's
got like a mid range kind of.
Yeah. She's not more close quarters than hands, obviously.
Right. Well, I think all the other ones would be close quarters except for hers.
Well, hammer's pretty far, staff is pretty far, and saber is pretty far, I would say, as far as combat reach, you know?
Yeah, but she can be like 10 feet away and throw these.
Yeah, true. So she's got like a range option as well.
Yeah, I guess Sister Hammer had two hammers?
Yeah, at one point, I guess.
I thought she just had one big one, but whatever. Yeah,
it seems like the sledgehammer is working the best for her. She can spin it real fast, apparently.
Yeah, real cool.
And then there's House of the Deadly Hand, and it just says, House of the Deadly Hand lies in shambles.
Yeah, there's not even like a picture.
So it seems like these would have worked better like before the actual story, almost.
They're explaining them
in like past tense because it shows like the Deadly Staff guy and he's like, oh, here's what this guy's all about. And then like everybody else. And it kind of explains it in the context of before you read the story. So it's interesting that it's in the end.
Yeah, even though it was like difficult at first, I think they did well with kind of introducing everything like in a good pace.
Yeah.
We could have gotten like all this prologue stuff, but I start like opening up a new book and like just seeing all of that, I'd be like, is this the whole thing?
Yeah.
So anyway,
we got some variants.
Variants, we love them.
So there's a lot of like untraditional comic art here, which I enjoy a lot.
This one looks like a video game.
Yeah, the first one is just like a very rendered Shang-Chi. But we got some from like Jim Chung, which is awesome.
He's the man.
We got some Art Adams in there. There's a really cool one from Kim Jacinto.
Yeah, that's like my favorite one.
Yeah, it gives me like Daniel Warren Johnson kind of vibes or like James Heron kind of deal.
Who did Power Man and Iron Fist?
Sanford Green.
Yeah, I think it a little bit those vibes. Yeah. Just like kind of
there's like a lot of energy there. And like, yeah, the proportions, I guess, are really crazy.
He kind of looks like Bruce Lee in some of these with like longer hair.
Yeah. Well, that's like the original incarnation of him was like longer hair. So like the Alex Ross variant in there, that's like a good representation of what he used to look like,
mm-hmm.
which is just longer hair, bandana, and he just fought shirtless because he's ripped.
Yeah. Now he's just got like a haircut and a shirt.
Yeah, basically.
Or a tank top.
Yep. But yeah, we got a bunch of different variants. We got Ron Lim, Benjamin Sue, Chris Anka. Does one, which is pretty good.
That's a good one.
The Alex Ross one is always just crazy.
Oh yeah.
And all sorts.
Raphael Albuquerque.
Yep, he's awesome. There's Scotty Young.
Yes sir.
With Fin Fang Foom.
That one's fun.
Yeah. So yeah, some variants. Good stuff.
Solid stuff.
So that's Shang-Chi.
Yes sir.
So we'll get into the pull list. Colin, shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What do you got coming out this week, Nathan?
I didn't actually go to the comic shop because I had a really busy day at work. So I got to see what I'm picking up.
Therefore, you don't know what you got.
Therefore, I'm not sure what I got.
So I haven't gone by just, as we've established, we shop definitely differently.
Yes.
I got Firepower 15 coming out.
Sure.
We got Black Hammer Reborn 3. And
wow, it's already on 3.
Yep. And then we got Star Wars The High Republic 9.
Nice.
So what about you? Do you know what you got?
Oh, Dark Ages, number one. I'm really interested in reading.
What is that?
It's the Marvel Universe, but there's no power. So it's really dark.
Like no electricity?
No electricity. Iron Man can't use the suit. I remember this being teased like last Free Comic Book Day, I think.
Really?
Like it's been that long, which was like before the pandemic hit and everything. So I think it got pushed, but there's like a really cool scene.
Was there not a Free Comic Day during the pandemic last year?
I think it was like, no, I don't think there was.
Huh. Okay.
I can't remember. Or maybe they like split it up. I can't remember.
It's normally in like May, so.
Yeah. But in May of 2020, there weren't comics. So Free Comic Book Day got fucked up a little
bit. And it was also late like this year.
Yeah. So I just remember seeing like the preview pages for it. It's just Iron Man flying in the air. And then all of a sudden in a split second, his suit doesn't work. And he crashes into a building. And then he also sees like an airplane like crashing down too because there's no power for the airplane.
Okay.
And then he's like calling Captain America. He's like, what the fuck do we do? And he's like, I don't know. There's no power.
So it sounds like it really only affect him.
Well, like it affects everybody.
Sure, but like as far as...
But look at this cover.
Them being super... Wow, really dark.
Yeah, very dark.
Yeah, I've seen the cover for it. It's pretty dope.
Yeah. So, I'm reading just the description. It's not... It's just like Spider-Man and Fantastic Four go together, and it's the Marvel Universe as you've never seen it before. So, anyway, that's the... Just like... Oh, and
it's Yvonne, probably fun for the colors. It's just a lot of black.
Yeah, exactly. Yvonne Coelho is the artist, and I think he's really, really good. You probably haven't seen him in much, but he's been in like Venom, some Thor stuff. So he's pretty good. But as far as other things I'm picking up, there's going to be, that's it for Marvel. There's a Green Lantern annual that came out, so I'll pick that up. Apparently, there's a Midnighter annual that came out, and it's got Mike Oeming on art. So that might be kind of cool.
Yeah, I think I saw like on just DC stuff, it's just a bunch of annuals.
It does look like a bunch of annuals. And then Aquaman's 80th anniversary, which I don't care about.
Meh.
I think I'm dropping Geiger. I don't want that anymore.
I haven't even started it, so I haven't picked up anything past like 3, I think.
I think it's just that, honestly.
Okay.
Which is good, because I've been wanting to like really catch up on stuff. So yeah, it's just going to be Dark Ages and that Green Lantern annual, to be honest.
Okay.
What did you read this week, though?
So you'll be real proud of me. I read a lot of stuff.
What did you read this week? I'm excited. I'm very proud of you. I'm always proud of you.
You remember that Amelia Clark book that I told you about? It's called Mother of Madness. Mm-hmm. I read that, number one. Pretty good. I don't think I'll continue with it.
What was it called?
Mother of Madness.
Oh, okay.
And then like the abbreviation was like mom.
Hmm.
So it's about this mom who has like a bunch of different superpowers, and they normally work when she has like different emotions.
Okay.
But when she's like, when like her adrenaline's pumping, they just like all work at the same time.
Cool.
So like when she's scared, like she goes invisible. When she's like, I don't know, bored, she like gets all like Mr. Fantastic-y.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So it was cool. It was a lot of commenting on like society and things like that, which I thought they did pretty well on. And it's really good art, but it's just kind of long and not really for me.
Gotcha.
That
happens sometimes.
Yeah, so.
What else?
But she did really well as like writing for comics. I think she had some help on the writing portion, but I thought it seemed very natural.
Yeah.
I read Black Hammer Reborn 1 and 2.
Good stuff so far?
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome.
I don't know why I like push off reading these things because they're so fucking good.
I know, honestly.
Have you read that at all?
No, I just have number one. I'll have to track down number two as well. But yes. I do plan on reading it so I can just stick with Black Hammer.
Yeah, that's my... I think all Black Hammer things are in my box. So he just throws them in there and I never forget to buy them.
Yeah.
And I also got the... Read the Unbelievable Unteens, number one.
Oh, dude. I'm so sad that my comic shop didn't have that in print, but I did buy it, like, digitally, so I'm going to read it.
Is it fucking sick? Oh, you haven't read it?
I haven't read it yet.
It's fucking sick. You're going to love it.
Oh, like, yeah, it just seems so good. That's a Black Hammer one, too, right?
Yeah, that's like the Teen Titans, kind of. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. All of these Black Hammer ones, they're written, like, so well to where the issue's over like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the panels are really spaced out, and there's not a ton of dialogue in each one. So you're just flipping pages like a lot.
That's awesome.
And so also read, I actually never finished Skull Digger and Skeleton Boy. So I read the last three of that.
That's a great book as well.
Fantastic book. That's got to be my favorite spinoff one.
I think so too. Yeah, the artist is like phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I love it.
He did some Iron Fist. That was really cool. Yeah,
that'd be dope.
It was Immortal Iron Fist.
Yeah, I think I follow him. He doesn't post a lot, but... yeah, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good ending. It's not like what I wanted because I just wanted them to be like
I think forever
together and like causing a ruckus.
Yeah,
but anyway. And then I read Crossover number 7.
Okay,
the Chip Zdarsky one. And I didn't know what to expect with it. You haven't read it?
I haven't read any crossover, but I have them all.
So oh really?
I'll get to it.
Now that I've read number 7, I'm like, I love this. This is a fantastic idea. And I didn't know what to expect with it. And so now that I'm just like reading it, I'm like, is that what this is? And so now like pick up the trade, which is like 1 through 6.
Okay.
Just nice. To kind of read it. Because I like it a lot. It's a great concept. Yeah.
Both of the creators on there, I really like. Donny Cates and Jeff Darrow.
Jeff's, yeah.
And yeah, they're really great.
Yeah. So that's a good book. You read anything this week other than our book?
I read Moon Knight number 2. So
yeah. Who's on that again? Who's
Jed writing McKay, it? Some other dude.
How's that?
The writer Jed McKay. It's like it's It's pretty interesting so far, honestly.
Okay.
The idea is that Moon Knight is like a priest now.
And oh, cool.
People are like following him as like a leader. And there was like this issue that was like about zombies, but zombies that were all kind of, not zombies, sorry, vampires that were all like being controlled by one person. And mm-hmm. it was just Moon Knight trying to figure that out. But he's basically just trying to help like the community around him. And there's like weird mystical stuff going on that he's trying to get to the bottom of while also being like a priest. And he's wearing all the cool like iterations of the of his costume. So we've got the Mr. Knight stuff and like the normal Moon Knight stuff. And the cliffhanger of this one was like a black looking Moon Knight character. So okay. I'm like, okay, who's that going to be? So it's really good so far for a lot of different reasons.
Nice.
He's got like a secretary that's like a zombie.
Okay.
Or a vampire. I keep saying zombie.
But did you ever read the Max Bemis run of Moon Knight?
I did. I wasn't a big fan of it. It started off really promising because there was like another person that was like a herald of a god of Ares or something, and he had like fire powers. So I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool, but
okay,
ended up not being super interesting to me, so I dropped it.
Yeah, a lot of, I guess I saw on Twitter's about something, just something that was like disappointing, and that came up, and like I guess had a really promising first issue, and then
it was a Nacho series.
Is a what?
A Nacho series.
Oh, gotcha.
So like it started off with like really cool ideas and fun stuff, and
all the good toppings on top,
all the good toppings on top, and you eat all the good chips on the top, but then as you keep going, the chips are soggy. There's not as many good toppings, so you're just eating stale chips.
They're all broken.
They're all broken, yeah.
I feel that.
So that was a Nacho series for me.
Damn.
But this one, hopefully, is not going to be a Nacho series, because these are some pretty good nachos so far.
they're multi-layered nachos.
Yeah. Comics and food just go together so well, I feel like,
when you're talking about them. Like, I had multiple ways to rank this book. I'm like
yeah, yeah. And then I also read the Spider-Man Life Story Annual.
Oh, I have the Spider Manual. The Spider Manual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's by Chip Zdarsky and Mark Bagley. They come back together one more time. And this one's a J. Jonah Jameson focused story.
Nice.
And it's like about J. Jonah Jameson just trying to take down Spider Man over the years.
Oh, cool.
And he ends up going to jail and he's still obsessed with Spider Man. It like ruins his life, basically. Hmm. And he's like obsessed. And then it like there's stuff about when he gets out. I really recommend you read it because it's like paced really well.
Yeah, I'll buy it for sure.
The cover just is incredible. It's the Chip Zdarsky cover is just Spider-Man's suit, but like in his suit is J. Jonah Jameson behind bars. So like the bars are like the lines of Spider-Man's suit. So like, it makes even more sense after I just read it. So it's a really good cover. But yeah, it's really cool just exploring J. Jonah Jameson, which they didn't do much in Life Story because there's already so much to cover.
Right.
But, you know, he ends up talking. There's stuff about his son who's like the astronaut, and he's like, you're the one that America should be proud of, not Spider-Man and like things like that. So it's really interesting.
I bet you could do an annual for like a couple
like parts characters of
just because of how much they covered.
Yeah. And there's a really good payoff at the end that ties into something in Spider-Man Life Story.
Okay.
And I remembered like that part of it because it's been a while since we like read that book.
Yeah.
But there's like a particular part that pays off at the end, and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, it's really good, honestly.
Sweet.
And then I was gonna read Batman Reptilian before coming here, but I was running a little bit late. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna read that this week
as for well. Sure.
And then as far as like watching things, I finished Demon Slayer finally. It's all right.
Oh really?
Yeah, at least the TV show. I haven't watched the movie yet.
I watched the first episode of that just because I was like watching like a bunch of first episodes of like anime mm-hmm. and I was like, this seems cool. Like, it doesn't seem like too convoluted.
No.
But
it's definitely good. The season finale was like, okay, so that's it. But it's supposed to like lead into the movie.
Is there more coming out or is it like done?
There's more coming out, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
So, but again, I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I guess I'm not totally sure, but it seems like there would be more.
And you watched that with Sophia?
Yeah.
And you said that was her favorite one, right? Or one of them?
It's like one of them for sure.
Okay.
Her favorite one is Black Butler,
I think. Okay.
And that anime is so incredibly boring to me. So okay. We stopped watching that and we're watching Demon Slayer. So okay. Yeah, I just finished that and then I caught up on Titans, and this last episode was like an origin of like the Red Hood based thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't dig into it too much, but there's a random Lazarus pit that they have under Arkham Asylum. And they don't explain anything about the Lazarus Pit. And it's the first time you've ever heard the Lazarus Pit. So yeah. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And so, like, by the end, we were watching it, so he was like, so I'm confused. And I'm like, I know what happened, and I'm also confused. Why is there a Lazarus pit under Arkham Asylum?
Are they saying that's how he came back?
Yeah, kind of. So, like, he was dead, and as his, like, body was being taken away, it gets taken to Lazarus pit, and he gets tossed in there and then taken out. There's, like, another twist in there with Scarecrow, and, like, they're teaming up together, and that seems to work pretty well. But the Lazarus pit thing, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's weird. Did they... Has, like, the League of Assassins, like, been brought up at all?
No.
Okay.
No League of Assassins, no Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul, however you say it. Nothing like that. But it is in Gotham, so, like, this is the first time the show's been in Gotham. It's been in, like, San Francisco or something before. So it makes sense that there's some unexplained things, but still, I was
just... Yeah, because, like, those things just kind of pop up in the middle of nowhere, like, randomly.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, let's have one here.
But also the size of it was, like, very small. It didn't seem like a big Lazarus pit. It was just like you could barely fit a body in there.
It was like a kiddie pool.
Yeah, it was. It basically was. She was like, what was that puddle? And I'm like, it's probably deeper than, like, a puddle, but yeah.
That's funny.
So yeah, there's that. I just thought that part was funny. Yeah. And then the only other thing I did was just watch What If. So.
Okay.
Did you watch What If? It came out today, so it's fine if you didn't.
But. Yeah, I watched it this morning. Okay, cool. So we're on season eight of Supernatural now.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Apparently season seven people, like, hated, but it wasn't that bad. I still like some things.
Interesting. Okay.
And then I think this is, like, where the show starts to, like, go downhill or just not be as, like, good as, like, the first couple seasons.
How many seasons are there?
15, I think.
That's a lot.
Yeah, so that kind of sucks because, like, after, so, like, spoilers, but, like, the fifth season, it's just like Lucifer is, like, let out, and okay, they have to, like, stop him, and then they stop him at the end of season five. I'm like, what more is there?
You
beat the devil. Like, I think you, there's no more work.
You can handle everything else.
Yeah, and so everything else, like, all the big bads have been, like, lesser than, like, Lucifer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, what else do they have to cover? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a fantastic show. I'm like, you have to watch this kind of thing. But it, like, I like it
enough.
People
love it, yeah.
Yeah, I can't even imagine liking... I don't like it enough to watch, like, the filler episodes.
Yeah.
Because that is not... Like, I don't care about some ghost when you just beat, like, you know, the king of evil or whatever.
Yeah.
And so...
That's kind of my opinion on Titans. Like, I like it because it's interesting what they do, but I can't recommend it to people because it's cheesy at the same time.
I feel like... I can't recommend Doom Patrol to anybody.
It's like that
fucking
kind of,
weird.
It's like that kind, but I can't recommend Doom Patrol because it is weird.
Yeah. Like, I think they write it in a way to where it works with, like, the budget and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but it's not cheesy in any way, in my opinion.
No, Titan's definitely cheesy.
But so. Imagine if I told mom to go watch Doom Patrol. She'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why would you recommend
this? Can't recommend it to normies.
Yeah, definitely not. It's like...
Unless they're cool with, like, weird, trippy stuff.
I wonder how many people... that are normies are like, yeah, this is Emmy nominated, let's watch this, you know what I mean?
Was it Emmy nominated?
Yeah.
Oh, cool, good for them.
Yeah, no, I'm like, I wouldn't expect that because I feel like it's made, like, for me, you know. Yeah. Not for, like, other people.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's still pretty cool. But anyway, and then I started watching You. Have you ever watched that?
I watched the first season.
Yeah. Apparently the third season comes out October 15th.
Yeah, Sophie's very excited.
Yeah, and so is Sarah. And she's like, you got to watch this. I'm like, okay. I've seen a couple episodes just in passing, I guess. And
it's kind of fun.
I liked it. Yeah. I mean, this guy's obviously, like, a bad person.
Yeah.
But I still want him to, like, win and, like, get the girl or whatever.
Yeah.
And the girl's kind of a piece of shit.
It's kind
of
like a Dexter situation.
Kind of, yeah.
But I like Dexter way more than What's-His-Face.
Yeah.
And by the end of the first season, I was like, I'm fine.
Okay.
So I'm curious if you'll be the same way. Because he puts himself into shitty situations.
Yeah, I'm like, well, this is your fault kind of thing. Exactly. And then, like, I'm super tense the entire time. I'm like, he's going to get caught.
I was tense because he's doing dumbass things. And yeah. I'm like, chill the fuck out.
I'm like, just don't follow her or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Just take the day off. You're going, like, to have a date with her, like, tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have to watch her when you're not hanging out with her.
But I guess it's, like, the thing is most people would just... fuck off and not do whatever stalker shit he's doing. So yeah,
but I also, like, kind of relate to it just to it's like brings up kind of like memories of like, oh, does she like me? Like, is she like, does she fuck around with a bunch of people or whatever? I'm like, am I being used kind of thing? And so I'm like, okay, that is just like brings up old memories, I guess. Exactly. And so I kind of can relate to that.
I think it's good and I understand why people like it, but it wasn't a priority for me to watch season two, but maybe I will because Sophia likes season two better than season one.
Okay. I just remember some dumb scene from the second season where she goes to like him and her go to this like retreat thing where everyone's in like tents and with like her family and stuff like that. And she's not ready to say I love you yet, but she says I wolf you. And just like the delivery is so fucking cheesy. I'm like, I hate this. I'm like, this is dumb as shit.
That's funny.
And so I just hate that whole episode because of that. And I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Were you just watching it because it was on while like Sarah was watching it or somebody else?
Yeah, someone else is watching it. I'm like, let me see what this is.
Yeah.
And it was just like, whatever.
That's funny.
Anyway.
But so what if?
What if, Nathan? What if Doctor Strange didn't lose his hands, but he lost his heart?
What if Doctor Strange kills his girlfriend a bunch of times?
Yeah, over and over.
Over and over.
And just keeps doing it. After a couple times, I'm like, it isn't working.
Do you like when characters get fridged? Do you like when characters get fridged 1,000 times in a row?
Yeah.
Different ways? Because that's what this episode is.
Do you like when they're getting fridged to the point where they can't be unfridged?
They're so fridged that it's an absolute point in the universe.
Yeah, I'm like, is it?
Because it doesn't seem like they're that much of like a love interest in Doctor Strange, like the movie.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it seems odd that.
And they tried dating once before, like in the movie.
It seems weird that he simps this hard in this episode.
Yeah.
But for those that don't know what being fridged is, there's some fun Green Lantern history here. But when Kyle Rayner was Green Lantern, he had a love interest who.
What was her name?
I don't know.
Fake fan.
It's been a while since I read that book, but. He was Green Lantern, had a love interest. There's a villain that came in, killed the girlfriend, cut her up into a bunch of pieces, and put her into the fridge. And that was Kyle Rayner's motivation to stop this villain. But it's like toxic because it's just this was a female character that was just supposed to be motivation to do something, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what the idea of being fridged is. That's like the term since then.
Mm-hmm.
So Doctor Strange's love interest, I don't even remember her name. What was it again?
Christine.
Dies, and that's his motivation to become Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the same way that he loses his hands in that car accident, and so she ends up dying, and he doesn't.
Yeah,
I don't know why he would like go to mystical extents to, you know, bring her back.
Yeah,
like as if that's possible.
I like most people move on a million different situations to see if there's a way to get past it.
Yeah,
like, he's like, what if you drive, and then the same thing happens, or like,
just doesn't I would pick think her up like I'm like, just stay home, and then they do.
Yeah,
and then. She gets shot in like a pizza place.
I'm glad they answer all those questions because at first,
yeah.
I was
what
like,
about this?
Just don't take that highway, and they don't take that highway, and they hit by a bus.
Yeah,
or like just go get pizza, and then someone comes in and shoots her. So it's like that's a thing in the universe that she dies, so that Doctor Strange can become Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and so he goes to like some library to figure out how to stop an absolute point,
which is
because apparently there is a way.
And he just consumes a bunch of life forces to gain more power.
He like summons a bunch of mystic beings and absorbs them once they come through.
He sucks them
and becomes them for a second, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
He steals like an evil cape and he looks like real evil.
Yeah. And then he's got some dark around his eyes, which is like this animated Marvel's way of showing you who an evil guy is. Is that
yeah,
dark
I know. Eyes. I noticed that with Hank Pym,
he's got dark eyes. So...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they wouldn't do that with like. I mean, was the
collector probably
the collector
dark
probably
eyes,
did
yeah.
too? Yeah.
So whoever's got
well,
dark
he kind
of
already had that.
Yeah, that was kind of like an attribute.
But it's not like Red Skull had that because he looks pretty evil.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I didn't look at who the actors were, but it wasn't Benadryl Kumquat that was playing.
It had to be.
Was it? I don't know if it was.
She does. Snack. He does voice acting, so I don't know if
I didn't think it was
Benadryl had to do it. Let me see.
Was it the cucumber snack?
Is it the benevolent?
is it banana?
Kumquat?
I like how that's the joke, just universally.
not season two, episode four. Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, okay.
And then Rachel McAdams came back to be Christine.
Gotcha.
Benedict Wong is Wong.
Yeah, I knew Wong was Wong.
Tilda Swinton came back.
Yep.
Okay, which is cool.
That's what it was. Okay, cool.
So, basically everybody.
And then what I liked about this is that there's more of Doctor Strange in his prime, which I feel like we don't see that much, or we haven't seen that much of yet. Because in Doctor Strange, he's just figuring out firecracker kung fu, and then we just see a little bit of it in, like, Infinity War.
I thought Infinity War was, like, peak Doctor Strange, like, exactly. All the shit he was pulling
which
out.
Is why I'm like, I want to see more of this. In this episode, I felt like we did see more of it, because he's got some more gimmicks and some more tricks and stuff, and he knows what he's doing.
Sure, but also, I thought it was a little, like, underwhelming in comparison to Infinity War, because he didn't use, like, the crimson drapes or whatever, or the crimson curtains. You know, remember that thing where he got those, like, long red things and, like, grabbed Thanos with him?
Yeah, and he made, like, a bunch of himself.
Yeah, he did some of that. He did, like, a bunch of hands thing. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And so just, like, stuff like that. I'm like, this is peak.
I feel like
this is God mode Doctor Strange.
I agree with you that the Doctor Strange in Infinity War was cooler, but at least we do see some more, like, mystic stuff. Rather than just, like, throwing, like, discs, which he does do in this, but...
Right.
But, yeah, I was appreciative to see that. And, like, more just, like, mystical stuff, like going to the library of Coglioso or whatever, and, like, him just getting a bunch of books and learning and doing all that. Like, I like seeing that, so I'm excited for, like, Multiverse of Madness to see more Prime Doctor Strange.
So when he's, like, absorbing these things, like, we actually see the Watcher... have dialogue
and
where he's talking, which is really cool. He's like, he's contemplating intervening,
yeah,
but he, like, can't.
Yeah, that was, like, the dark thing about this. It's like,
this is a dark ass episode.
He was like, and it was super the good. First time the Watcher, like, was involved and was like, I have to, this is your fault, and I have to just let it happen.
Yeah.
And Dr. Dream's like, I'm sorry, I simped so hard. Yeah, destroyed the universe.
So the Ancient One, when he, like, tried to intervene before he went to the place, he, like, created, she created, like, two timelines.
Correct.
And but it was the same timeline to where there's two Doctor Stranges.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah, it was awesome, because that Doctor Strange just left and went and buried and studied the library. So I guess that Doctor Strange was existing at the same time as regular Doctor Strange, just doing the Sorcerer Supreme stuff.
Yeah. So, like, normal.
I like the cloak fight. Do you remember the cloak fight?
Oh, yeah. That was like, one of the cooler parts.
That was, like, what I was most interested in.
I'm evil, like, cape and good cape?
Red cape and bad cape? Like, which cape wins?
Yeah.
And then, like, that cape dies. The red cape dies.
Good
cape.
I know. He just gets ripped up.
Yeah. So, yeah. It was a pretty cool fight.
That's got to be the worst Marvel death.
Also, what's her name again?
Christine.
Christine comes back, and Doctor Strange, evil Doctor Strange, is just a big ugly monster. So I'm like, I don't know what you were expecting, dude. Like, this is a very weird situation.
I'm glad that it happens, because he looks fucking scary.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's just like all the beings that he, like, absorbed just all in one.
Yeah.
And then, like, reality was still, like, you know, melting away,
mm-hmm.
even with her back, and even with
him falling with the books. Too.
Yeah. So it's like, what was the point of this?
Think this plan through very well, did you, Doctor Strange?
Well, he didn't know
about
that would happen. He thought it'd be fine.
Yeah.
So I guess that
whole melty effect was really cool, though.
Yeah, it was creepy.
There's, like, it was happening to buildings and stuff.
Yeah. So and that's, like, just representative of, like, reality going away. And that was, like, the consequences of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess in order to do the thing, he had to absorb the good version of himself. And so he did, because he's much more powerful. And... when he brings back Christine, like, reality, like, collapses. And he tries to, like, hold it open.
That part was cool, too.
And then he holds it open, and they're just in this, like, shield or this, like, dome that he created. And outside of it is, like, nothing.
Just all black. And I'm like, and that's, I'm just, like, fucked up.
Oh, this hurts.
All of reality is just dead.
Yeah.
Even if he can just comfortably, like,
hold that. They're going to get hungry.
Yeah, exactly. So they're just done. Unless he can mystic up some food. But it'd probably just be gooey, too.
Yeah, so. And then he talks to the Watcher again, and he's like, you can help. You're looking good. Yeah, he knows. You can do this. Like,
I can feel you doing your thing.
Yeah, he's I can't.
The Watcher doesn't hide himself super well.
He's just in plain sight.
He's just in the sunset.
Yeah, that was cool.
I assume people couldn't see him, but I guess since Doctor Strange is, like, mystical, he can.
Yeah, so he said that he couldn't help.
I'm glad that we had, like, some lines from the Watcher.
Yeah, I'm glad that...
Jeffrey Wright is, like, very... He sounds very mystical, you know?
Oh, yeah. I love his voice.
So it's cool.
One of the best.
So where would you rank this one against the others?
I think this is, like, third for me.
That's what I think as well.
So it's, like, Guardians, then with the Avengers and everywhere, this, and then Captain Carter.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at. I still really like the episode, but...
yeah, me too.
Yeah, the other ones are just like a little bit higher for me.
These are all worth the watch, for sure.
Yeah, I love this show. It's so fucking cool.
Yeah, it is. It's super interesting.
I got the Watcher in like New York in the background, like as like my phone background.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I tried to find the one where he's like off in the distance on that road sunset,
yeah.
or whatever.
Or yeah.
But I couldn't find daytime. It.
Yeah. Very cool. Good show. I'm excited for the next one.
Love that shit.
When is Marvel Zombies going to happen?
I think that's like the 9th episode.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Saving so best for last.
I guess so.
So yeah. That's the show, I think. What are we going to read next week?
So, couple things. I mean, the last season of Lucifer comes out on September 9th or September 10th.
Okay.
So we could do a Lucifer book if you'd like, or it's our 75th episode, so we could do something big if you want.
I don't want to.
No? Okay.
what Lucifer?
So, I mean, the old one is like Neil Gaiman, and I think it's like a bit longer. It's like a deluxe. There isn't like a way to like break it up. Yeah, it's called like book one. Or no, it's Mike Carey and Peter Gross. And it's like almost 400 pages.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. And then there's the one series in 2018 that was most recent. That was a part of like that Sandman universe thing. That is by Nalo Hopkinson and Kat Howard. That's 200 pages, about 6 issues. So that's like the most recent Lucifer that we know.
Ooh, there's a bunch of people on this. Bilquis Evely. Oh, she's great, actually. She's on Woman of Tomorrow right now and is an unbelievable artist. And Tom Fowler's on there. Interesting. Cool. Huh. Yeah, I'm down for Lucifer.
Okay, for sure.
So yeah, Lucifer, next week.
Alrighty.
Be square. Yeah. Thank you everybody for listening. You can reach out to us if you'd like and tell us what you think about Shang-Chi after you see the movie. And you can reach out to us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com or on Twitter at tradewaiterspod.
Tell us what to read.
Tell us the things that you're liking, especially recent stuff. We should probably do more like recent trades.
This is a recent trade.
Oh, it was. Same thing with Lucifer. So we should do older things then. I'm at Twitter at more like Nate Thick.
Dan and Tividad.
And that's the show for this week. Thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you.
Peace.